Normally, when we chat with Neil and Laura Fahey, it's perhaps about their Paralympic events, what sports they're involved in, what tournaments they're attending, how's the training going, and there has been a new arrival. It's not a medal, it's not a world record, but the patter of tiny feet. Neil and Laura are with us. Thanks for joining us, guys, and congratulations on the little one.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to join you. I'm glad we could make it despite the little terror causing mayhem with our usual routine.
Well, I think you got Fraser with you. So if he wants to have a chat, not a problem.
He's got a good pair of lungs on him when he gets going.
Who does he take after?
The fact he's always annoyed when he's hungry is definitely a mum trait.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to say that was you, Neil.
No,
I get hangry. I get very hangry.
So everything is completely new. I mean, we talk about, you know, kids arriving, kind of your whole life changes. I mean, you guys especially, when you think about the sports, the training, the travelling, you know, is it a really big change for you, probably more than most, do you think?
I mean, it's very hard to say at the moment. It's a massive change currently. And I find myself thinking, God, how am I going to find time to get back into training? But at this stage, the priority is feeding him and getting to grips with this whole new lifestyle. So if anyone can take on that challenge, I think we can.
It will be a challenge, but I think with a decent amount of support around us, we should be able to do it and keep going, both of us. And that's what we want to do anyway.
And there's a lot of excitement, I think, when you get the news that a little one is on the way. What was that like for you guys, just finding out for the first time?
It's something we've spoke about and we've wanted for a long time, and we kind of put on hold because of COVID and the Paralympic Games in Tokyo being postponed for a year. And after that, we were umming and ahhing whether we wanted to start trying now or, you know, when was the right time, because this year we'd booked with a group of visually impaired people actually to trek to Everest Base Camp, but we kind of left it up to fate really and just said, well, let's just see what happens, and whatever happens is meant to be. And we found out he was on the way and was due 5 days before we were due to fly out to Everest. So I know I'm strong and all that, but there was no way I was doing both. So Everest has been put on the back burner for a few years.
If ever there was an excuse for getting out of a trek to Everest, I suppose being pregnant is probably one of them. What about yourself, Neil? What was it like hearing the news?
You know, it's a funny one when it comes to visual impairment and checking the test. I mean, it wasn't accessible, nor has no sight. I have some, so it was up to me to actually check the pregnancy test. And my eyesight not being great, I kind of could see that what I thought meant pregnant, but I wasn't certain it was. And I was kind of like about to tell Laura, but I thought, I don't want to tell her she's pregnant if it turns out I've misseen this and she's not. So to be honest, for the first week or two of us finding out, I'd spent the whole time just panicked in case I'd made a terrible mistake.
Well, we did a couple, didn't we? Yeah. She went sure, so we went and did a second one. But there is apps now, like I'll Be My Eyes, where you can get help with things like pregnancy tests and stuff.
Did that bother you, Laura, having to rely on someone else to tell you? You know, it's a really kind of personal thing, isn't it?
If it was anyone but Neil, it probably would have bothered me. But the fact that, you know, the child was both of ours and it was as important to Neil as it was to me, it kind of didn't bother me at all.
When I found out I was going to be a dad, I think some of the things went through my mind was changing nappies, making bottles, feeding, because, you know, I had lost my sight by the time my kids were born. And that was the kind of things that were rushing. There was initial excitement of it, and then it was, how do I do this? How do I do that? What if they fall? What if they're red in the face? Or what if they're not well? Did you get any of that?
Oh, yeah. Still do. For me, because my mum's also totally blind, like she's an incredible role model of how did you do this? What did you do for that? Having her on the end of the phone has been such a massive help.
It is a constant worry for sure. I mean, we both listened to a few audiobooks in advance trying to prepare ourselves, but obviously nothing actually prepares you for the doing. But I think we've just tried to spend this first few weeks like making an effort to go out the house. We did our first nappy change away from the house this week as well, which was successful. I'm sure there'll be some ones that are less successful. I've heard many nightmarish stories about nappy changes going wrong, but
I think it's the same for sighted people as well. Like, that's the reassuring thing. It's not something just because you can't see you struggle with. Like, new parents everywhere struggle with the same things, and you just got to get stuck in and you know, take the highs with the lows.
Do you think you'll come up with little tips and tricks yourself? You know, when I was kind of feeding the kids, it was like I'd always find the top of the bottle with my finger, and I knew if my finger would touch the side of their mouth, I knew the bottle was in. There's kind of little things, I suppose, you kind of develop and little tips you can pick up.
The biggest thing for me, and I struggled with for the first few days, was because I'm trying to breastfeed him, was knowing how to get him latched on properly. And you just have to work it out slightly different to what sighted people do. And a lot of the people who helped me was that, well, if it feels right, then it's right. And if it doesn't feel. So once you learn what it feels like, then that's all that really matters. Then you've got it right.
I have already adapted our nappy changing area slightly, because I you know, if the light's really good for me, I can see not too bad. I've got RP and sort of low level light's terrible. And I realised we'd set up our changing table in a dark corner of the house, and I thought, well, that's going to be no use. I'm not going to see anything like what I'm supposed to be cleaning up. But I've now got sort of a few little clip-on lights to light up the whole area, so we've got the sort of floodlit area for baby changing. And, you know, you just find these little tweaks, don't you? Little things that make life a bit easier.
You talked about books and things for lots of help and advice. Are there kind of any groups out there that is blind or partially sighted parents can join for help too?
So Blind Parents UK have been really helpful, and they have it's like a Blind Mums Connect on Facebook, and they also have a WhatsApp group, which has been really useful for me.
And people have been through it before, you know, and have, you know, been through these challenges and have these tips and things that, you know, you speak about that can offer a bit of advice. And that's been pretty useful in the first few weeks when you're trying to just figure this thing out. It feels like a real roller coaster at the moment.
Yeah, both of you, your career is usually quite full on with the training and the competitions and things like that. Do you have an idea when you would start to kind of go back to that? Will you go back together or will you do it separately?
My goal is to be back for the World Championships next August in Glasgow. Obviously, at this moment in time, I'm not doing anything on the bike. I've just got to wait till I feel ready and healed, and I can't not exercise. I'm a freak like that. So I've already been back doing a little bit of core that I can do and what's safe at this moment in time, and build up to it when I feel ready to get on the bike. And you've been back.
Yeah, I've started sort of to get back into just a little bit of base stuff just to get my fitness back. But I'll be back way before Laura. I mean, it's a lot easier as a dad, although it was stressful going through childbirth, physically not so demanding as it is for the women out there. So yeah, I'll be back into it, albeit slightly more sleep deprived, I guess. So I guess just have to be a bit more sensible. And
I did train. Mm. I say train. I did exercise. I ride my bike all the way through pregnancy, and I was on the bike the day before my waters broke with him. So I have carried a lot of fitness through the pregnancy. I will have to build up again, and there's no way I'll be back to full strength straight away. But
yeah, I think Glasgow World Champs next year is a real goal for us both to be there and hopefully performing well and figuring out how we go about
racing with a little one.
Yeah.
In tow. I think family and the support of the family is going to be vital at that point.
Definitely.
Is he going to be a cyclist?
He's going to be his own man. He's going to find out what sport he wants to do, and whether it's cycling or something else, you know, we're just going to give him every opportunity to try.
A lot of people keep saying, oh, you know, you're going to have this incredible hybrid. It's going to have all this endurance from Laura's side and the sprint finish from my side. But I keep reminding them that he could also have my endurance, which is pretty subpar, and Laura's sprint finish, which is not great. And then he's he's not going to be much use as a cyclist at all. So I don't really mind where he ends up. It's up to him.
As long as he's happy and healthy, we really don't mind.
Well, guys, I know time is precious for you at the moment. I really appreciate you taking the time out to speak to us now. Best of luck with parenthood. Best of health as well. And luck to Fraser. And Neil and Laura, thanks for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure as always.